From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanthi Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Padma Shri Dr. V. Mohan. Dr. Mohan is a world-renowned diabetologist. He is the chairman and chief of diabetology at Dr. Mohan's Diabetes Specialty Center, which is a WHO collaborating center for non-communicable diseases prevention and control. He is also the president and director of the Madras Diabetes Research Foundation in Chennai. Dr. Mohan, who is an ardent devotee of Bhagwan, is currently also a trustee of the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust. And the topic for today's talk is Sri Sathya Sai Baba Lives On. This talk was delivered in Dharmakshetra, Mumbai on the 22nd of April 2018 as a part of the Samarpan series. Stay tuned, dear listeners. Interspersed and after the talk, we have some melodious songs composed and sung by Swami students. And at 3:30 p.m., we have the live Telugu segment, Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesh Jhari. With that, over to Dr. Mohan.
Om Sri Sai Ram. I offer my most humble, loving, holy and reverential pranams at the divine lotus feet of our Lord and Master. But for him, none of us will be here today. Thank you, Bhagavan, for bringing us all together in this wonderful satsang, the last half an hour to 1 hour. We have all been enjoying your bliss. Wherever your glory is sung, you will be there. This is a promise that you have made, and we believe every word that you speak. And therefore, Bhagavan, we believe that you are here, right here today, to join us as we speak about your glory and sing your glory. Respected Sri Nimish Pandya, All India President of the Sathya Sai Organization, Sri Ramesh Sawant, State President of the Sri Sathya Sai Organization Maharashtra and Goa, Dr. K.K. Mistry, Trustee of the Sri Sathya Sai Trust Maharashtra, my good friend Dr. Vijay Bhaskar, who could not be here today but he spoke to me yesterday, but I'll meet him tomorrow at Parthi, Sri Anup Saxena, Mumbai District President, Srimati Kamala Pandya, All India Bal Vikas Coordinator, Sri K.B. Santanam, Secretary of the Sri Sathya Sai Trust Maharashtra, my good friend Bombay Srinivasan, Sri Anush Mohan and Sri Siddharth Bhatt, who have been actually responsible for inviting me here today, respected elders, Sathya Sai, Sri Sathya Sai students, and my beloved Sai brothers and sisters, my loving Sai Ram to all of you. Yeah, that's better. Thank you. My coming here today itself, I think, is the first miracle which I'd like to talk to you about. So, Anush Mohan had booked me several months ago. He tells me it was in July. I've forgotten the date now. We met somewhere at his cousin's wedding in Bangalore, and that's the time when he booked me. But the date that he had booked me for was February. And then somehow I could not make it in February, and I wrote to him and said, can we push it by 1 month? And so we pushed it to March. And then by the beginning of March, he wrote to me and he said, you know, can you make it April? Now, if you see my little diary which I carry with me, I'm sure none of you have this diary with you. The reason is it's a 3-year diary. Okay, and normally my days get filled up at least 2 years in advance. So when he actually called me and he said, can you, you know, get another date? We are having this anniversary. It will be the 3rd anniversary and we'd love to have you for this and so on. Without even looking, I almost told him, no, I don't think it's going to be possible, Anush. I said, anyway, let me just check my diary, and I opened it. And wonder of wonders, I'm supposed to be in Mumbai on that day. There's a medical conference today. In fact, it was at the JW Marriott, which again had been booked many months ago, and I completely forgot about that. And I said, you know what, Anush, I'm there in Mumbai on that day. Now, what's the chance of that occurring, you know? With all my travels, not that I come to Mumbai every month or something like that. I probably come once or twice a year. You know, what's the chance of that occurring on the very day when you wanted me to occur? So that's how Swami connects the dots. And that's my first message to all of you. That Swami, irrespective of whether his physical form is there or not, let us have 100% faith that Swami is continuously connecting the dots. And if he has not connected all these dots, the little dots of dust that are all sitting here in this room, you and I included, we will not be here today. It's because he has connected all the dots that we have actually come here to be here today. Listening to all the people before me who have given Samarpan talks actually made me a bit nervous then. I was drinking a lot of water there, you would have noticed me. Because I'm getting very nervous. All these people have spoken so much. And what am I going to say here today, which you people have not heard of? In fact, it's like carrying coal to Newcastle. Coming to Dharmakshetra, talking to much senior devotees than me, I've been in this fold only for about 25 years or so. You people have been there much, much more. I was the first devotee in my family. So, you all have been there for 3 generations and 4 generations and so on. So, who am I to come and talk to y'all about the glory of Bhagavan when I should be the other way around? Now I'm willing to sit there and one of you take over. If Nimish can take over now, I'd be more than happy to listen. But then, something struck me. People need to be reminded again and again. And one of the things which I heard during the Mahasamadhi, and thereafter, several times, and I'll come back to that later on, is that there is a vacuum. There is a vacuum. There is a vacuum. Ardent devotees who have been with Swami, who have had the benefit of having been with the physical form for years and years and years, even today, after almost 7 years, are not able to accept it. And they probably will never be able to accept it. To be fair, people have been very, very close. It's probably in a lifetime we will not be able to accept it. That's a different story. But when I hear this thing, vacuum, vacuum, when I hear this, something tells me it's not right. Because after all, Swami had told us. He had told us not once, he has told us a million times, don't get attached too much to this form. That's the first thing. The second thing that Swami has told us is, I am not this form. And if you think I am just this one little form, then you are underestimating me. You don't even know my glory. You don't know who I am. You just think I am this one little form of Satya Sai Baba which has come. It's only a manifestation of who Baba is, of who the Lord is. He has many such manifestations. And therefore, there is no vacuum at all. What happened to all the years in history before Swami came? Swami was there in some other form. Similarly, all the millennia that are to follow, also Swami will be there. During that short period of about 85 years that he came here, it doesn't mean that's the only time that the Lord walked the earth. The Lord will be there before, Lord is there after. But what is of relevance to us is that we are the chosen few. We are the chosen few. Many avatars have come to this world, whether it's Rama or Krishna or any other form or Shirdi Baba or any other form that you can talk about. Many avatars have come to this world. But in no other avatar's time, while they were alive, while they were in the physical form, did they have millions and millions of devotees worshipping them as God. I think in human history, this is the first time and the only time that this has happened, that when an avatar walked the earth, people actually accepted him as God. You tell me if there's any other. Maybe I'm missing something. But to my knowledge, there is not. Okay? And within that few million of people, nobody knows how many people are devotees. In fact, there's no definition of a Sai devotee. If you worship some other form, does it mean you're not his devotee? That is also not true. Okay, if you don't worship him in this form, does it mean you're not a devotee? That also is not true. So there's no definition of a Sai devotee. But even if you take people who are connected with the organization, who follow the form, who have been worshipping the form, certainly there must be a few million people in this world. Today, the world has over 7 billion people. Okay? And even if we are one among that few million people, we are still the chosen few. Swami has handpicked them all to become his devotees. He's handpicked all of us. Everyone, as was mentioned, everyone sitting in Dharmakshetra and not sitting in Dharmakshetra, who are thinking of him now or not thinking of him now, are all the ones whom he has handpicked one by one by one. And but for his sangalpa, we will neither be his devotees nor will we be here today to enjoy his bliss. So that is the greatest blessing which the Lord has given us, for which we cannot even repay it in any form. How can you ever repay to the Lord for picking us as his chosen few? But that also, and I'll come back to that later on, that also places a huge responsibility on us. Because then, by being his chosen few, we are also his ambassadors in his way. And therefore, unless his ambassadors perform now, and the next 10 to 20 years are extremely important, if we, the chosen ones, the ones whom he has chosen, if we don't do what we are supposed to do, I think we have let down the very Lord who chose us. And therefore, there's a great responsibility put on us. And I'll come back to that a little later. People ask me, devotees, non-devotees, sometimes new devotees, they ask some questions. So let's take one or two frequently asked questions, because these questions reverberate in people's minds. And you'll say, oh, I also thought of the same thing. Whenever we ask something, sometimes people are shy to ask, but when you say it out, yeah, I had the same doubt, you know. So one of the things which people ask is, you know, I'm shy to say that I'm Swami's devotee. Okay, it has happened to me as well. I would be coming from Chennai to Puttaparthi, even when Swami was there. And if somebody asks me in the airport, where are you going? I'll say, I'm going to Bangalore. I won't say I'm going to Puttaparthi. What will that fellow think if I tell him that I'm going to Puttaparthi? Okay? Will I go down in his opinion, in his esteem, if I tell him I'm going to Puttaparthi? You know? It took me many years, in fact, to tell people proudly, putting my head up and say, I am going to Puttaparthi. You know? That was once when I read in one of Swami's speeches, where Swami directly says, never be shy to say that you are my devotee. And if somebody asks you, where is God? Tell them with full confidence that God is in Puttaparthi. Okay? Now, even to an ardent devotee, it's not easy to say that. But people may not believe in Bhagavan, number one. They may not even be of the same faith. They may belong to a different religion. They may belong to everyone. But are the other people shy to tell you, I'm going to, Israel. I'm going to Bethlehem. I'm going to see the Pope. I'm going to see this. They tell you proudly, no? They tell you they're going to Mecca and Medina, no? So why can't we say that we're going to Puttaparthi? Why should we feel shy? If we feel shy, that means we still have our faith to be developed more and more. So that's the first thing that I want to tell you. Never, ever be shy to say that you're a devotee of Bhagavan. Be proud of it, because he has brought you to him. We didn't go there. Without a sangalpa, it would never have happened. And once he has chosen you, given you such, whether you hold a position in the organization or not, is immaterial. A position in an organization is nothing. Much, much more important is to be connected to him as a humble devotee. I think that is far superior to being a trustee or a state president or a All India president or anything. Those are all immaterial. Okay? Being a devotee and having a direct connection, heart-to-heart connection with Swami, for which you need no post. You don't need anything. I think that is the greatest thing that you should be proud of and for which we should thank Swami. The other thing which people ask me is, can I worship some other God also when I am worshipping Swami? So one of the things which I used to ask myself is, and you get it to these kind of situations. You see, I told you I became a devotee 25 years ago. At that time, my father-in-law was a very big Ayyappa devotee. Okay? And he was a Guru Swami. He had gone 40, 50 years to, I don't know if all of you know Ayyappa, because in the south, all of us know, maybe here you don't know, but this is in Shabarimalai. So you take a, you know, penance 40 days, and then you go to Shabarimalai and so on. So I also used to go. So after getting married, I also started going. About 18 years I went. Somewhere around that time, I had become a Swami devotee. Now, problems start. What's the problem now? Okay, so when you have this 40-day rhythm that you take, you know, you have to sing the Ayyappa songs, you have to sing the Ayyappa bhajans, you have to do all that. But on Thursdays, we sing Sai bhajans. Okay, now what do you do now? Okay, you're taking the Ayyappa thing, but you have to do the Thursday Sai bhajans, or you'll do the Ayyappa bhajans, or what will you do? Okay, so it so happened that one day I was wearing the mala and all that, going to Shabarimalai and sitting there, and we had been singing some Ayyappa songs, and then the aarti came. Now the aarti for Shabarimalai, Ayyappa as well as Sai Baba is different. Okay, now how do we end this bhajan? And it's getting close to the end, you know. So in my house, and it's there, the pictures are there, I've tried to, you know, produce photographic evidence of every miracle that has happened through this book. So there are two big pictures. One is Guru Ayyarappan on one side, Ayyappa on the other, with Satya Sai Baba in the middle, and the Shiradi Baba, and then there are two padukas, and I'll come back to the paduka in a moment. So there are two padukas kept, one under the Ayyappa picture and one under the Guru Ayyarappan picture. Okay, now I'm in a real dilemma. I don't know what to do. Another 5 minutes you take aarti now. I don't know which aarti to take now and how to end the bhajan. Okay, silly it sounds, but these are the kind of situations one gets into in life, you know, when you have a conflict. You really don't know what to do. Okay, so here we are. Bhajan is about to end. So I'm looking at the picture. So we have two flowers, one kept on top of the Ayyappa picture and one kept on top of the Guru Ayyarappan picture. Okay? So I look at Ayyappa and I'm telling him, now what do you want me to do now? Take for you or take for Baba now? You tell me. Okay? And tell me now. Tell me next 5 minutes. I don't have much time, you know. 5 minutes. I just said that and the flower, boom, went from kind of the Ayyappa picture, and the thing is kept here, paduka, and the picture is there, like clear 2 feet away. Okay, from there the flower goes, boom, it goes and falls on Swami's paduka. Okay, now I said, thank you Ayyappa, so I'm going to take the, you know, Baba bhajan, I'm going to end with the aarti, mangala aarti, I'm going to end with this. So that went off. So first conflict solved. Coincidence, Sai incidence, you can call it whatever you want. Okay, all skeptics will say, look at the scientist talking all nonsense, just because one flower fell, he think. For me, that flower is enough. No more. Because I asked him, he gave me the answer, no more. Then if I doubt, then why am I asking? I have no faith, either in Ayyappa or in Baba. Okay, and he has given me a sense, okay. The story doesn't end there. Next morning, so that when you put this Ayyappa mala, you have to get up at 5 o'clock and so on. This is January. Normally you go in January during the, you know, Mandala Puja time. So you don't need, it's only time in Chennai, you really don't need AC, you don't need fan, you don't need anything, okay? So I'm sitting now. So that one flower is still missing. The other flower is there with Guru Ayyarappan, okay? So I turn to him now, the morning, okay, and say, yesterday I asked him and he put the flower. Okay, now I'm asking you, what about you? The moment I asked, the flower fell onto the next paduka there. Now what are the chances of that occurring now? Okay, first time you can say, oh, maybe that, even then at that exact moment to occur, you know, do you think it's possible? Do you think it's humanly possible? No, I want the flower to fall. Will it fall? It doesn't happen that way unless there is divine grace. The next day when I prayed to Guru Ayyarappan and that also fell, that cleared all my confusion. That was the last time I went to Shabarimalai. Never went there again. I don't go to temples anymore. I stopped. Because for me, the answer was clear. Okay? Now, when I say this, people will say, you're talking blasphemy. No? You're saying don't go to temple, don't go to this, don't go to that. If there's some Hindu Vishwaparishad people here, you may even kill me here for saying that. I am talking about myself. I'm not talking about you all. I am saying what happened to me. Okay? All gods are same. When Ayyappa put that, he is saying he and Swami are the same. So why should you feel bad to worship either Ayyappa or Swami? If when Guru Ayyappan puts that, you can pray to Guru Ayyappan also, or you can pray to Swami. It really doesn't matter. I think Swami will get upset. Oh, you prayed to Guru Ayyappan, you didn't pray to me. You think Swami is going to do that? When the Lord is one, and he takes different forms, it really doesn't matter. You mentioned that you think of the form that you like. That form can be any form. You didn't see only this picture, I can look at that picture also, you know. Okay, there is no division. It is all unity. Okay, so that's the second point that I want to tell you. We must have firm conviction in ourselves that all forms are the same. It's very difficult, let me tell you. But it's possible. For me, it's possible. Now what happens then was, okay, it doesn't happen overnight. So this happens, okay, I still went to Shabarimala at that particular time because I already put the malas, so I had gone. When I went there, I started seeing Swami everywhere there. Swami's pictures coming. What is the chance of Swami's pictures coming in Shabarimala, of all places? You know, that too so many years ago. When I go there, I'll see Swami. If I go to see the priest, there inside there, Swami's picture will be there. When I go somewhere else, Swami's picture will be there. After he has reinforced it several times, then it's no longer a coincidence, it is a coincidence. And from then on, then the faith is firmly established. People ask me, okay, it's all very easy to talk. From a platform you can talk. Okay. How do we know that when we are praying, our prayers actually reach Swami? It's a doubt we always have, no? We are praying. Swami, you have heard it or you have not heard it? You may be busy doing so many things, you know. Yeah, I am not the only one you are thinking about. You have got so many millions of people here. Other worlds also you have to look after. Very busy you are. So the small little prayer of mine, is it reaching you? I will give you an example of how it exactly happened. That I know that our prayers are reaching him. So it was in Vrindavan in Whitefield. We are having an interview. And at that time, my wife was alive then. She had recovered from another illness. She subsequently died of cancer and so on. But she had recovered from another illness. She had lost her hearing suddenly. And then the ENT surgeon had said that she can't travel because she was taking steroid injections, sudden some nerve problem in the ear. And he said it cannot. Miraculously, the day before we were supposed to go to Whitefield, the hearing came back. So we went and I asked my classmate Mohan Kameshwaran, who is also my close friend, and said, now can she travel? He said, yeah, she can travel. So she came. So she came, she was sitting in the bhajan hall of Vrindavan when we were inside in the interview room with Swami. Okay? And she was praying silently to herself. The bhajans are over, everybody had gone, and we were inside with Swami. And she was praying to Swami saying, Swami, thank you. Swami, thank you. And she's saying it mentally. She's not saying it loud. There's nobody else in bhajan hall. She's simply sitting there. And she's saying, Swami, thank you, Swami. Thank you, Swami. Thank you, Swami. Now, we are inside the interview room. About 5-6 of us around Swami. And he was talking to somebody else. And then he turns to me and says, Doctor, why is your wife saying, thank you, Swami, thank you, Swami? She's sitting in the bhajan hall and saying, thank you, Swami, thank you, Swami. I didn't know that because I had come here. I didn't know that she was sitting there. So I kept quiet. I didn't say anything. I don't know what to say, so I just kept quiet. Then he was again talking. Then again he said, Doctor, it's disturbing me. She's saying, thank you, Swami, thank you, Swami, thank you, Swami, thank you, Swami, thank you, Swami. What is this thank you, Swami? You know, when you're my devotee, it's my duty to help you. So please tell her not to thank me. If she thanks me, the value of what I did has gone, he says. So ask her not to thank me. Okay? Second time when he said, everybody heard. There were others, G.K. Raman was alive there, he was there, Ramani was there. All people were there and they all heard. So the moment the interview was over, we all went running to her and said, what are you praying? You know? And she said, I was saying, thank you, Swami. That was disturbing him inside. You know? Now here is direct proof. What more do you want? Okay? But the problem with the human mind is that we'll immediately dismiss it. Oh, that must have been a coincidence. That must have been a coincidence. Everything we say, we'll dismiss it. You should not do that. If Swami has given you any such blessing, in any form, you know, never dismiss it. Never think it was some inconsequential thing that happened. Take it as the greatest blessing. For me, what is that blessing? It's a blessing that to be informed by the Lord in person that He's hearing our prayers. Now, how many times, how many lords will tell you that? How many opportunities will you get? To me, that is a revelation. Oh my God, when you're praying, it's actually reaching Swami. Now, just because in His physical form He was there and He heard, and many of the miracles, I'm going to tell you 2-3 miracles, all of them happened not when He was standing next to me or I was sitting next to Him. It all happened when we were miles away. Okay. So if it can happen then, why can't it happen now? In that case, where has Swami gone? Swami has not gone anywhere. Swami is with us. Satya Sai Baba lives on. That is the message. My whole message that I'm trying to tell you today is, He has not gone anywhere. He is there with us. Okay? Let me tell you a couple of stories. Again, they are there in the book. And you might have heard me say this earlier. But then that's what miracles are about. If it's a true miracle, it doesn't happen every second, no? Of course, our living itself is a miracle that way. Experiencing the Lord every day is a miracle. Those are different things. But I'm talking about true medical miracles. You know, in the Catholic faith, before you are given sainthood, whether it's Mother Teresa or anybody, okay, at least one or two proven miracles should be there. One or two proven miracles of that person, only then the canonization occurs. Only then that person is elevated to sainthood. In Mother Teresa's case, also it had to be done. They have to go through a committee, they wait for some years and so on. Okay? And what does it mean in the Catholic religion? Once you are made a saint, any human being who has lived, and there are many others from India also who have, one nun from Kerala has also been made a saint and so on. In the Catholic religion they believe that once you have been canonized, once you have been proclaimed to be a saint, you can then pray to that saint. Okay? And that saint is the gateway to God. That is their belief. That's why they take time. And once they declare it, now you can pray to Mother Teresa, you can pray to anyone else, because the Pope and the others have now declared. Okay? If you look at it that way, I'm sure every one of you sitting here, okay, has had at least one miracle. Tell me if anyone here has never had one miracle. Let me see. Raise your hand. Anybody sitting here who has not had one miracle in your life? Raise your hand. I don't see any hand going up. Let us see, any one of you have had one miracle. Raise your hand. Let's see. All hands are going up. Okay? We need only two or one to be canonized. One only. I think one only you need. And here are already in this room itself hundreds and hundreds of miracles which have happened. That itself shows that Swami is not a saint. He is divine. He is in human form. He has come, but He is God personified. He is an avatar. And that's the difference between a saint and God. So let me talk about two or three of medical miracles, because you mentioned that I should talk about medical miracles. So let me talk about this. The first one was a lady, middle-aged lady. She had a lump in the breast, which she neglected. And she used to live in Prashantinilayam, incidentally. And it turned out to be cancer. Unfortunately, she kind of delayed it a little bit, so it had grown very big. And by the time she came to see me, and what happened was, she wanted to tell Swami that she is coming to Chennai. Somehow that particular time, Darshan Swami didn't go near her, so she waited a couple of days and she finally came over to Chennai. She was admitted in our hospital, for control of, first got her diabetes controlled, and then we had to do her surgery. And she had been seen by a surgeon who had planned to do the surgery. She had been seen by an oncologist who confirmed that this is cancer and they had already planned the chemotherapy. She had been seen by a radiologist who felt that radiotherapy is also needed. On top of that, she has diabetes, so I am seeing her for the diabetic part also. Okay? The next day was a surgery. It was going to be done in our hospital. The day before the surgery, Swami calls one of her relatives and says, she could not meet me before she went to Chennai. Okay? He materialized Vibhuti, gave it to him and said, she's admitted in Dr. Mohan's hospital. She's to undergo surgery tomorrow. You take this Vibhuti, tell her I know all about it, okay, and go and give her this Vibhuti. So that man came running, and that night itself he reached. I was doing rounds, he came. He came and met me. And then he said, I've got Vibhuti from Swami. Swami said, tomorrow is a surgery and all that. So this lady said, oh, good, 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 then no surgery for me tomorrow. I said, no. What did Swami say? Tomorrow is a surgery, you have to undergo surgery. Swami didn't say cancel surgery and come back. I have to gladly send you back. Swami said, tomorrow is surgery. So he has confirmed the surgery is there. You have to undergo surgery. She said, okay. Morning we get up. Okay, morning she gets up. In the hospital bed, where she is sleeping, all around her Vibhuti has formed. Okay, around her. Vibhuti has formed. Again she said, see, Vibhuti has formed. That means Swami says, no need for surgery or not. I said, Swami didn't say anything like that. Did he come in your dream and tell you, even if you tell me now, that Swami came last night in my dream and said, no surgery, I'll discharge you. Straight I'll send you. I believe you. Okay? He didn't tell you that. He just manifested Vibhuti. It doesn't mean that there's no surgery. Let's continue with the surgery. So she went in for the surgery. Surgeon took out the tumor and he told everyone, oh, this is sheer, you know, hard cancer growth. So let's send it for, first they do what's called the frozen section. Just cut it, just to get a quick idea. The pathology report takes time. Just to get a quick idea what it is. In a few minutes you can get it under the microscope. So they sent the frozen section and he said, this is cancer and all, and he sent it. Report came back, there is no malignancy. Okay? So this man wouldn't believe it. He said, how can it be? I know cancer, so many years I've been operating, this is tumorous cancer. Then he said, no, you know what, in that hurry of doing it, they would have missed it. Somewhere they had taken the wrong section, they would have missed the cancer. So then he said, okay, I'm not doing the major surgery now, I've just removed the tumor. Let me go and see the tumor, then again, I'm sure they missed it. Let me come back, we'll poster again. For the second surgery, we'll poster. So he goes and looks at the tumor, section by section by section by section, there is no malignancy at all. Swami has completely cancelled the whole cancer. Okay, this happened in my hospital. Okay. Then the oncologist says, better to give chemotherapy, he says. I said, no better to give chemotherapy, there is no cancer first. So what chemotherapy you are going to give? There is no cancer, what chemotherapy, you know? Radiologist said, but don't you think little radiology? I said, no radiotherapy, no chemotherapy, no nothing, finished. She's over. No further treatment. She goes back to Puttaparthi. She lived another 10-12 years. There was no recurrence, no malignancy, nothing. She died of old age. Okay? Nothing happened. Here is a true miracle which I have seen. Okay, sometime when I say this in medical profession, they will still question, they will be still doubting the omnisys. But in the first case itself, they didn't do biopsy, no. How do you know it is malignancy? Because all the doctors had said it's malignancy, and Swami had told that man, her relative who came there, she has cancer, but tell her I will look after it. Okay, Swami didn't say, Swami definitely said, she has cancer, but tell her don't worry, I'll look after it. And he looked after it. Okay, so that is the first miracle.
रे करते तेरा स्वागतम साई रे करते तेरा स्वागतम राह निहारे थक गए नैना प्रेम की ज्योत जला साई रे करते तेरा स्वागतम राह निहारे थक गए नैना प्रेम की ज्योत जला साई रे करते तेरा स्वागतम के प्यासे नैनों के दीप जले बिन बाती दिल में उमंगे जागी फिर से दिलों में आई खुशी की बहार हो खुशियां ही खुशियां दिल में छाई स्वागत हो मेरे साई साई रे करते तेरा स्वागतम साई रे करते तेरा स्वागतम कृष्ण को पाने ढूंढ रहे तन मन सब त्यागे ये अंगना था सुना साई तेरे आने से पहले ओ आए बरसे इस आंगन में स्वागत हो मेरे साई साई रे साई रे करते तेरा स्वागतम राह निहारे थक गए नैना प्रेम की ज्योत जला साई रे करते तेरा स्वागतम राह निहारे थक गए
Listening to Radio Sai Thursday Live. Stay tuned.
The second miracle I want to talk to you about was a Muslim patient, a well-known man. He's still there. He's a leader of one of the Muslim sects in Chennai. Very well-known man, big businessman, rich man. This man had a very low pain threshold. He can't tolerate pain. Okay. So he got operated for an ulcer at the back. A small infection at the back, and it was extremely painful. Okay, so the first day after surgery, he just was yelling with pain. He couldn't get sleep the whole night. He didn't sleep. So we had given him all powerful. First we gave him something, then we gave him something else, then painkillers, then finally we gave him pethidine, fortwin, everything we gave him. Still the man didn't sleep. Okay, the next day, second post-operative day. I was somewhere out. I got a call. No, this man is calling you. He wants you to come. So I went running to him and said, what? Dr. Mohan, I have full faith in you. I have come. Okay? And I can't go through another night like this. So I said, what do you want me to do? You know, the pre-operative and post-operative pain is like that. You have to tolerate the pain. After a couple of days, it will go. Don't tell me all this. I cannot suffer one more night of pain. You do something. I said, look, I've given you pethidine, I've given you fortwin, I've given you everything. I don't know any other medicine to give. You know, what else to give? I don't know all that. You relieve me of my pain now. Okay. I said, close your eyes. He closed his eyes. So I have this ring which Swami has blessed me with. Okay. Swami materialized ring. Swami has even put his hand on it and blessed it. So I said, close your eyes. Then I put this ring on, he's closed his eyes now. I put his ring, the ring on his forehead, like that, and just prayed to Swami and said, Swami, you take over. I don't know what to do now. I don't have anything else to give now. I surrender completely. I don't have any more medicines to give. But this poor man, you know, he should not suffer with pain, Swami. And just on humanitarian grounds, I pray to you, Swami, please relieve this man's pain. Okay, it all took about a minute's time. I said, open your eyes. He opened his eyes. I said, I'm going. I said, quickly ran out. Before he asked anything else again. When I went out, the nurse came. And said, today what shall I give? I said, what else? We have only the same pethidine and botulinum to give, you know. You give that itself. We'll see what happens. I said, and I went. Shall I give it now? I said, don't give it now. Let wait for some time, you know. Let it delay for some time and give it little later. I went home as having dinner. She rang me. And she said, sir, he's fast asleep. Now what do I do? Do I poke him or what? I said, don't go and poke him now. He is How did he sleep? I don't know, sir. I went there. He is snoring and he has gone to sleep, you know. Fully he has gone to sleep. You know, within about 10-15 minutes after I left, he has had his dinner and he has knocked off completely. Nothing given. Not even a crocin was given. Okay. And here is a man who is shouting with pain. Okay. I said, don't give it now. If he wakes up in the night, then you go and give him. You know, till now he is quiet. This man was knocked out up to 7:30. Like general anesthesia, he was knocked out. Okay? He got up in the morning, pain gone, everything gone. And then he called the nurse. And he said, what did you give me yesterday? He said, I didn't give anything. No, then how did my pain go? I don't know, sir. You were fast asleep, so I didn't come and give you. I asked Dr. Mohan, he said not to give you anything. So I didn't give you anything. And he is waiting. Okay. So then I entered the rounds. He said, doctor, come here. What did you do? What did you do to me? I said, what did I do to you? Your pain is gone. So why did? What does it matter what I did to you? You wanted pain to go, pain went, you know. So what do you... No. You tell me what you did. You made me close my eyes. Something I felt, something you're touching me here, something you did. What did you do? I said, you really want to know? Yes, I want to know. I prayed to Bhagavan Baba and he cured you. I said... That man stood up and he said, your Baba is God. Okay? Muslim man stands up and he says, your Baba is God. He has not come here. You have not given me any medicine. He has answered your prayer. You prayed to him. And to us, when we pray to Allah, Allah answers our prayers. You have prayed to Bhagavan Baba. And he has immediately given me, has been most merciful. We say Allah is most merciful. Your Bhagavan Baba is also most merciful and he relieved me of my pain. So he is Allah. Bhagavan Baba. Then I said, then I gave him Vibhuti. I gave him Swami's pictures. He still takes Vibhuti every day. Okay. Then I asked him once, why don't you come to Puttaparthi? He said, doctor, I'll pray to him in my house. I cannot come. You know my people, how they are. The moment I come, it will be a scandal. You know, then it will remove me from my leadership. They will remove everything. So internally, I will pray to Swami. I will keep the Vibhuti. I will keep the pictures. He still carries Swami's picture. And every time I talk to him, he will say, you are blessed, doctor. You are able to see the Lord. You are able to see the Lord in person, he will say. So that's another miracle. To me, I cannot explain it. If that's not a miracle, I'd like to ask you, what is a miracle then? The man is crying in pain without doing anything, one prayer to Swami and Swami cures him. If that is not a miracle, then I don't think there's any other miracle, to my mind. Third one. This concerns my own specialty, diabetic foot. Okay? Much younger days, I was not a devotee of Swami at that time. Okay? I didn't even have my own hospital. I used to admit patients in a far away hospital. So, I admitted this patient, I sent him there, surgeon had seen him, we started treating him, very bad diabetic foot, and you know how diabetic foot is, it can smell, there can be gangrene, and finally if it doesn't heal, you have to amputate the leg, there's no other go. So we waited, and it's very costly, because you keep on keeping the patient there 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, bill will keep going up, and finally you may amputate also. So after about 2 weeks or so, the lesion is not at all healing, it's getting worse, in fact. So surgeon and I had a small conference, and we finally said we better break news to this man and tell him that you have to have an amputation. So both of us went, told him, sir, we're very, very sorry. We tried our best. We controlled your sugar. We did everything. We did everything possible. Every medicine we have given, it is not healing. So we'll have to amputate. Can we do it tomorrow? Shall we fix it? Because you keep on going, your bill will keep going up. So better that you have the amputation done. This man didn't bat an eyelid. He said, okay, no problem. Give me one day. I'll tell you tomorrow. I'm not telling you today. I'll tell you tomorrow. I said, okay, what's the hurry? We waited so long. You tell us tomorrow. Next day, we go for rounds. And this man tells me, doctor, there's no need for amputation. I said, but shouldn't that we be saying it, not you? We are supposed to tell you that no amputation. No, doctor, I'm very confident. Open my wound and see. You know, healing would have started. You see. I said, 24 hours, healing would have started, you know. He said, see, doctor, you open and see whether healing. So it's all bandaged. You know, see, he has not even seen the wound. It's all bandaged, okay. So we removed the bandage and healing has started. Okay, in that wound. So I sat down. I said, there's something happening here. What happened? Tell me what happened. I'm a scientist, I just want to know what happened. No, Baba came, no, yesterday, and then he sat and I said, what? Baba came? Yes, he came last night, he said. I said, Satya Sai Baba came here. He said, yes, he came. Very casual, no? Yeah, he came. I said, what did he do? He came. I said, where were the, what are the others doing? No, all others are sleeping. And I was also sleeping. Then he tapped me. And he tapped me. I woke up. Baba is sitting there. Baba, you have come. No, no, it's about your leg. I just came to talk to you about your leg. And what did he do? He sat there on the, you know, on my bed. He sat there. And then he just touched that bandage. And then he said, you tell your doctors no need for amputation. And I said, and then what happened? Then he disappeared, he said. I said, oh, he came. He sat there. He touched your bandage, told you no need for amputation, and then he disappeared. Yes, that's exactly what happened. And I'm not a devotee, you know. So I told our surgeon friend, who was also not a devotee, I said, I don't know whether to believe that Baba came or did, but anyway, it's beginning to heal now. So that part of it we have to accept now. Let's wait, I said. Within 2-3 days, healing started. He was sent home, no amputation. Okay, that was one of my first experiences that the Lord can actually come in physical form. So if He can come then, can't He come now? It's not only when you have a body that you come, no? He can go anywhere. And we have heard this. When He was there, we have heard that He's been in several places. Okay, I know for sure some instances in Chennai, I don't want to tell you because the person who is there may not like me to tell you stories of his life. But I know for sure that it's happened to one of my close person in the organization where Swami has physically come to his home. Okay, so these are kind of miracles. Now, let me tell you the last story about a medical miracle involving my mother. My mother is no more now. So she underwent a surgery. So she's a chronic asthmatic and she had undergone a hip replacement surgery. Okay. So the hip was replaced with a new hip and so on. Now because she is asthmatic, she could not have the regular anesthesia. It's too dangerous. Her lungs are weak. So they had put in what is called as an epidural anesthesia, where through the back they put a little thing and then you have to keep topping up the medicine so that the pain goes away. So she's been up and she can't even move now. She's been operated and I'm there in the hospital with her, and around 3 o'clock in the morning she starts yelling, she starts shouting, and she says, severe pain, 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 do something, do something, do something. I called the doctor. That tube which is put into the spine has slipped out. Okay? So you can't put it back now. You can't bend her again. An anesthetist has to come. He has to again bend her. There's no way you can bend her after she's undergone the surgery. What do you do now? She's crying with pain. First day post-operative pain. She's crying. It's my mother. Okay? Mohan, do something, do something. She's crying. I said, Mummy, close your eyes. So I just sat there, prayed to Swami, took Vibhuti, and said, Mummy, I have only one treatment for you. Swami's Vibhuti. Okay? And I'm giving this to you. I gave it to her. Within 5 minutes, she just slept off. Since then, no pain. Okay? Now, I'm a doctor. I'm a scientist. For me to tell you this, that this happened, the medical profession will not accept. My friends don't accept. My medical colleagues don't. How is it possible, Mohan? Well, it is possible. There is something that the divine power can do which medical science cannot explain. As simple as that. This is beyond science. Where science ends, divinity starts. Once you know that, then you will accept it. If you don't believe in that, if you don't have faith in that, you will never accept it. And you will say, oh, he's just making up all these things. Okay? One of the things that Swami has taught me, even when he was in his physical form, is that our personal sadhana, we should never ever stop. And that I can tell you through an incident which happened. So we have this padukas which, Srinivasan uncle, we had two padukas actually in the house, and actually that is also described here. In all these years, I don't know how many years it is since we got the paduka in Puttaparthi, in all these years, only one day, I missed doing the paduka puja. One day, okay? What happened was, my wife had gone to Puttaparthi. I was supposed to look after my small daughter, who was a baby at that time. And I was putting her to bed and this and that. And that process, I forgot to do the paduka puja. That night, Swami came in my dream. Okay? Very angry. Extremely angry. And he has come in the dream. He comes to my house. And he doesn't even talk to me. And he's saying, Swami, don't talk to me. He says. And then he goes off. Straight he goes into our guest room. And he's saying, I'm going to sleep now and I haven't eaten. Okay? Let me tell you, this is the greatest thing that you can do to Swami. He has not eaten and he's going to bed hungry. That's the worst punishment I can give you, he said. Then I'm crying. It's all in the dream, of course. I'm crying. I'm touching his feet and saying, Swami, what did I do wrong? Please tell me what I did wrong. You know, I accept any punishment that you give me. But what did I do wrong? Did you do my paduka puja today? You have not done the paduka. Then I realized, gosh, I've forgotten. At 3 a.m., I went down to the puja room and did the paduka puja. Okay? So, again, do our prayers reach him? Yes. Does our personal sadhana reach him? Yes. So, whatever is your personal sadhana, it may be anything, doesn't matter. If you ask 100 people in this room, you may be 100 different sadhana. But he loves that sadhana that you do for him. Never ever give up that sadhana. Now let's come to the post-Mahasamadhi period. You can say all this is there when Swami is there. No, you can go and talk to him, you can ask him, you can give him letter, you can ask him, you know, my daughter's school admission, daughter's college admission, daughter's marriage, son's marriage, job, this, that, bus ticket, you know, everything we can go and ask Swami. Now how do we go? Vacuum is there? No. How do we go? I will put it to you, and this is just my own view, that when Swami goes from the saguna form, the form of God, to the nirguna form, the formless form, his power multiplies a millionfold. He is not restricted to the small form of Satya Sai Baba, where he has to control whatever he is doing because he is in that form. Today he is not limited by the form. He can come, he can go, he can do what he wants, he can be in 50 places at the same time. His power has multiplied several fold. And that is why you will hear increasing manifestations of Bhagavan post Mahasamadhi than when he was in his physical form. That is something which is easy to say. For some, it is difficult to accept. Therefore, I would put it to you, my brothers and sisters, that have that faith and let us pray to Swami. If you're praying to Swami for only one thing, okay? Only one thing you want to pray to Swami. That one prayer should be, Swami, never ever decrease my faith. Every day, increase my faith, even if it is by a very small amount. Keep on increasing that faith. That's the only prayer we need to do. Because once we have that faith, once that faith keeps on increasing, everything else is taken care of. We will do his work, we will do everything. I want to tell you just, you may ask, is this really possible that after the Mahasamadhi, he will always be there? Two quick instances I'll tell you and then I'll come to the last part. You would have read this, of course, it is in the internet, it's there in my book, the security guard incident in Vrindavan. So this was a security guard from Tamil Nadu who was trained in Tamil Nadu to become a security guard, and so happened that, you know, after initial posting in Puttaparthi, he was posted to look after Swami's residence in Vrindavan. And all he had to do in the night was to keep going around, okay? Now this man's mother was sick and she could not walk, arthritis or something like that. And of course he had heard of Swami, and he had heard many people saying that, you know, Swami can do this and Swami can do that and so on, but he was not a devotee himself. So when he started his first day's duty of going around, he started praying to Swami and said, "Swami, if you are God, okay, I want my mother to start walking." Okay? He doesn't stop with that. He gives Swami a condition also. "You must do it in 5 days. I give you 5 days time. 5 days I'll pray to you. Okay? By the end of the 5th day, my mother must walk. Then I'll accept you as God, otherwise you're a fraud." Okay? So, first day went, nothing happened. Second day went, nothing happened. Third day went, nothing happened. Fourth day went, nothing happened. 5th day, angry is now going. I knew you're a fraud. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. And then he's going around. Okay? Suddenly one sweet voice calls him by his name and says, "Why are you angry with me?" Okay? And then he turns around and he sees Swami standing there. Okay? This happened about 2-3 years after the Mahasamadhi. So he sees Swami standing there. And he was, of course, he was shocked. And then he went to Swami and Swami said, "See, you had given me 5 days. Today is the 5th day. 5th day is not yet over. Okay? Before that itself you are shouting at me. You could have waited for one more day, no? Tomorrow if you had shouted, I can understand. You had given me 5 days time. Okay? Why don't you ask your mother how she is and then shout at me?" And all that. And then he disappears. Okay? This man rings up his mother and he says, "I'm all right. I'm able to walk. Okay, Swami has cured me. My leg pain is gone, my knee pain is gone, I'm able to walk." Now, I have met this person. It so happened that I was to give a talk there at the Vrindavan campus, and therefore I was there and he was on duty. So I checked out everything with him. Where were you? Where was Swami? What did he tell you? How did he look like? What? Before I write something, I want to, as a scientist, I want to kind of prove everything. He was very accurate in his description. And this happened long before. And he's been seen in flesh and blood. Okay. Swami's enigmas we can never solve. If you ask me, why he didn't appear to Dr. Mohan? Why he didn't appear to Nimish Bhai? Why he didn't appear to Ramesh Sawan? Why he went and appeared to this fellow, the security guard? Swami we can never question. Swami is, you know, whatever Swami does, it is Swami's will, it is his sankalpa, and there is a purpose for it, there is a reason for it, and that's why he did it. In Sai Nivas in Perambur, also something happened. Years ago, it happened, second time it happened. So the first time many years ago, they were building Sai Nivas in Perambur, and there they needed some bricks, some jelly I think at that time, okay? And they were praying to Swami and saying, "You know, Swami, we are not able to find the funds and we need this jelly and all that." Suddenly at that time Swami was there. So immediately somebody came and delivered what they wanted for their construction material. And a few days later when they came to Puttaparthi, Swami asked them, "So you got what I sent you? You are praying for it, no? I sent you. I only brought it for you. It was good, nice and all that." So that happened when he was there, okay? Recently, after the Mahasamadhi, there were some repairs there, okay, and some bricks were supposed to be delivered. And this is a lorry man who has never seen Swami. He does not even know where Sai Nivas is first. He doesn't know who is Satya Sai Baba. He doesn't know anything. There were supposed to be some Sevadal sleeping inside there, but I believe it was raining or something, so those guys were not there. So this man goes there. With great difficulty, he finds Sai Nivas hidden somewhere inside. So he went there. Goes there and then he starts calling out for people. There's nobody there. Suddenly from the first floor of Sai Nivas, He sees somebody standing there and calls him by name and he says, okay, you yourself unload all the bricks. And he says, how can I unload all the bricks? You know, with my hands I can unload all the bricks. Yes, you do it. In a stern voice, somebody said that. Then he got scared and so he unloaded all the bricks and all that. Suddenly he looked up and that person is not there. Okay. So then he called the person who was the district president, he called. And then he said that, that is the phone number which he had. And he said, sir, I brought the bricks and I unloaded it. But your people were not there, the sevadal. And then what did you do? No, no, I myself, you know, unloaded it. There was one man, no, standing here with long hair, big hair and all that. He started, you know, scolding me and saying, you can do it, I will help you. And then quickly, all the bricks I was able to do before I realized it. Then they said, wait. You, whom did you see? No, somebody in an orange dress and some hair and all, he was standing there and he was commanding me, then I did it off anyway. He said, wait, I'll come there. So he went running inside, he opened Sainivas, Swami's picture, this man only. He only was there on top. You mean you saw Swami there? Yes, you're standing on top, he said. Then next day, we called him to Sainivas and make him tell the whole thing. And we recorded it, and again, it's on YouTube. So I know personally of at least two instances of people whom we have actually seen who have seen Swami in flesh and blood after the Mahasamadhi. Okay? If this is not an experience enough, then what other experience do you need? So finally, let me end by saying, is it time to wind up? So what is our responsibility? There is no doubt that we are the chosen few. There is no doubt that we have all been blessed to be in His immediate presence, to have His darshan, sparshan, everything that we can have. There is no doubt of it that every one of us has experienced His miracles, His love. Don't you think, my dear Sai brothers and sisters, that we also have some responsibility to Swami, to the organization? This organization is something which Swami created in His lifetime. There is no other avatar, to my knowledge, who created any organization, any trust, when they were in the physical form. Long after that, people might have started this or started that. This is an organization started by the avatar Himself. We all know that. We have all been part of it. So I think it is our responsibility, first of all, to play the part given to us. Whether we are a simple sevadal, a simple devotee, an office bearer, it doesn't matter. Whatever role we have been given, we must do it well, and we must do it exactly as Swami would have wanted us to do. Every time we take a decision, we should ask ourselves internally, would Swami have approved this? Yes, then I'm going ahead and do it. Don't worry what the world talks about you. Don't worry what the world thinks about you. If you think, if your conscience tells you, because Swami is sitting inside you and guiding you, okay? Let us make Swami proud of us, okay? Because whatever we do, you know how much pride Swami has. Oh, these are my students. These are my children. These are my devotees. The pride which Swami says, because for Him, that's the only property He has. He doesn't own mansions, He doesn't have a bank account, He doesn't have anything. The only thing that He has are His students and His devotees. Okay? So that bond that we have built when we have been alive and we have been in the immediate presence of Bhagavan, that bond should never be broken. We have a duty to Puttaparthi. After all, Puttaparthi was where he was born. Puttaparthi was where he lived. Puttaparthi was where he built the institutions, the temple of healing, the temple of learning. And Puttaparthi is a place where he finally chose to have the Mahasamadhi. Every aspect of his life has been linked to Puttaparthi. And therefore, to a true Sai devotee, such of us who have been blessed to be there, I think Puttaparthi is our real home. Our house is not our home. Puttaparthi is the real home. Puttaparthi is the source. It is that source which has brought us together with Him. It is that source which will sustain us for the rest of our life. So let us all go back to Puttaparthi as many times as possible and continue to get His blessings and continue to feel His divine vibrations. Once we cut that cord, we have broken our relationship with our Bhagwan. Let us believe that Swami is our eternal companion, that He will be there forever, guarding us, protecting us, guiding us. He's inside us, outside us, above us, below us, inside us, by the side of us, taking us by our hand as His children. That faith let us continue to have till the last breath that we breathe and that the last time that we, last day that we live on this earth. We talked about Nirguna. Okay? And every day we should convince ourselves that Swami in this Nirguna form is with us. And therefore, before I end, I would like you all to repeat a prayer with me. Okay? This prayer is to rededicate ourselves to Swami and to rededicate our faith in Swami and to tell ourselves that Satya Sai Baba lives on now and forever. So are you ready? Okay. Om Sai Ram. The light of Sai surrounds me. The love of Sai enfolds me. The grace of Sai protects me. The presence of Sai watches over me. The mind of Sai guides me. The life of Sai flows through me. The laws of Sai direct me. The power of Sai abides within me. The joy of Sai uplifts me. The strength of Sai renews me. The beauty of Sai inspires me. And last but not the least, the formless Sai is within me. Once more, the formless Sai is within me. And for the last time, the formless Sai is within me. Thank you all for inviting me for this wonderful satsang. I have been in bliss from the moment I entered Dharmakshetra. I can feel the vibrations of Swami. May Swami continue to bless all my brothers and sisters of Maharashtra and Mumbai so that His glory will be lived through you. May you be His eternal ambassadors. Let us all offer our Kroti Pranams to our Divine Master. Jai Sai Ram.
to have gathered here to share the love of God and to feed Him near. He's the Savior of the age, come to wipe our tears, to render us immortal and dispel our fears. Temple of our hearts, let's praise the God that keeps us and Him far apart. Each and every child may He be born within the holy hearts of
మందరి ప్రాణమా ఓ సాయిమా. இன்றே சுப தினமே. ಶುಭ ದಿನಮೇ ಆಹ ನೀಡೇ ಶುಭ ದಿನಮೇ
ಇಂದೇ ಶುಭ ದಿನವೇ ಆಹ ಇಂದೇ ಶುಭ ದಿನವೇ
ಪುನ್ನೊಳಿಯೇ ಪುದುಮಲರೇ ಎಲ್ಲರೂ ಜೀವಿಯತ್ತು ಸುಭಾಯೇ ಇಂದೇ ಶುಭ ದಿನವೇ ಪುನ್ನೊಳಿಯೇ ಪುದುಮಲರೇ ಎಲ್ಲರೂ ಇಂದೇ ಶುಭ ದಿನಮೇ
ಟುಡೇ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಸೀಕ್ರೆಟ್ ಡೇ ಟುಡೇ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಸೀಕ್ರೆಟ್ ಡೇ
ಇಂದೇ ಶುಭ ದಿನಮೇ ಇಂದೇ ಶುಭ ದಿನಮೇ
ಇಂದೇ ಶುಭ ದಿನವೇ ಇಂದೇ ಶುಭ ದಿನವೇ
ಶುಭ ದಿನ ಹೈ ಆಹಾ ಆಜ ಹಿ ಶುಭ ದಿನ ಹೈ
ಟ್ಯೂನ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ಸಾಯ್
ಸ್ಪೆಂಡ್ ದ ಡೇ ವಿತ್ ಸಾಯ್
ಫ್ರಮ್ 6 AM to 9:30 PM on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai.